It seems to me that this great central truth has been misplaced in the shuffle. We become so involved in political and imperial struggle and in the test of moral muscle that we forget there is to be a consummation. Now, the Bible begins with a marriage in Genesis 2 and concludes with a marriage in Revelation 19. Christ is betrothed. To whom and in what manner are told in the New Testament. His coming above all other events fulfills this long romance. It is a mystery of godliness that baffles a world system. Paul likens it to husband-wife. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. For whom? For what? Can be asked. This is the midnight cry, mister. Are we hearing it today? I believe the sound is heard. Everywhere in the church world, in every denomination, the dearest friends of our Lord are separating themselves from all else and giving themselves with renewed vigor to Jesus. It is as though a cry had reached them, and they are answering that cry. John says, let us bet and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage lamb is come, made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. I know this. There are believers all over this planet who are getting ready. Their one concern is the bridegroom's approval. Clean and white are the requirements. And God insists that his son has the best the race can offer. Now, how can I meet these requirements? First, this righteousness must be imputed to me. I cannot earn it. It is a gift made possible by Calvary. Through the cross, I can become what otherwise it would be impossible to become. Christ himself told about the wedding garment. At that time, according to Eastern custom, wedding garments would be provided by the host. It would be unpardonable for a guest to refuse. And that's why Jesus, relating the incident, marks the man who chose to dress otherwise. Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I wonder how many platforms and congregations are preparing adherents for the end time in garments totally unsuitable for the marriage. There is a righteousness that is filthy rags. It's self-effort, Reverend. It is the laborious program of regimented professors of religion. And second, this righteousness must be imparted to me. I cannot produce it. It is bestowed upon me by the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit. Esther is a type. She needed a winning attire to stand before Ahasuerus. It was a death penalty, regardless of her beauty, position, or worthiness. And now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Now, how did she know what to wear to please the king? Here is the answer. She required nothing but what the king's chamberlain appointed. So you and I need that same superior guidance in the direction of the Holy Spirit. An interesting feature of the marriage will be John the Baptist's relationship to it. John realized his place. I am not the Christ, he said, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. It's a beautiful picture, the friend of the bridegroom. Jesus gave his cousin this rating. Among those that are born of women, he said, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Thus, the righteousness that is imputed and imparted to me provides me an opportunity that friends of the bridegroom are not given. Every Old Testament prophet and saint who in psalm and prophetic utterance anticipated Christ's return are his friends, the friends of the bridegroom. They will be present at the marriage supper. They will stand with Jesus as he receives his bride. Joseph and David, Gideon and Isaiah, Joshua and Samuel, Moses and Hezekiah, Ruth and John the Baptist will stand with Jesus of Nazareth as he receives the New Testament believer. It will be the wedding of the ages. John was told, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. Who are these who are called? Well, they are Christ's helpmeet and companion upon earth. Paul likens it to the union God performed in Eden. They two shall be one flesh. When you meet such a believer, you experience the image of Christ upon that believer. They are not marked with the tone and the direction of a world system. They are one flesh, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of the mind to prove, that is, to demonstrate, to make evident what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are three clear qualifications outlined in the Scripture. First, they are saved by grace. Now, Mr. Church Member, it may not suit your vocabulary or style, this word saved, but it decides who you are for eternity. By grace are you saved, otherwise you're lost. You may be lost in the choir of the Sunday school, maybe, but you're lost just the same. You need to be saved. It says so. Second, they are saved by the blood. You're not saved by baptismal immersion or infant baptism or study groups. You're saved by substitution. Christ took your place, the place of an offender, the place of a sinner. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How? By the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Mr. Do-Gooder, you will have to get there the same way as the cannibal out of the hinterlands of the Amazon through the precious blood. It may not suit your carpeted and wealth-laden sanctuary, but there's no other access. And third, they're saved by faith. It is a sense that God provides. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is superior to the physical senses of sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste. It's that awareness of the soul. God provides it, and you can use it through faith alone. He that believeth not is condemned already. Now, there was a sense of prophecy when our Lord stood at the wedding at Cana of Galilee and told his mother, mine hour is not yet come. He knew his wedding was scheduled, just as his death, resurrection, and ascension were scheduled. And I think the greatest portent lies in the verse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Jesus told the 12 that he would drink with them and knew in the kingdom. The Lord's Supper, the communion which we observe down here, is a constant remembrance of the marriage supper above. The good wine is reserved. The best is yet to come. Now there is a bride, gentlemen. Yes. We almost forget as we blossom the church into a profit-making corporate, political, and moral thrust, an institution to be respected by big business. Shall this separate company give her affection to others? What about our promises to Jesus, Mr. Church Member? There was no doubt in Paul's mind. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The believer finds himself totally joined in spirit. Desires, vision, decision are one with him. Paul defines it when he says, not I, but Christ liveth in me. How can any union be closer than this? Heaven's comment is this, let's be glad. Rejoice! The cause? The marriage. There are two things increasingly evident in our midst today. The first is the ambition to save the world without Jesus Christ. And the second is anti-Semitism. Now you can understand the latter, anti-Semitism, that provocation, because Isaiah referred to Israel. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And so every false lover is busy seducing the minds, the conscience, and the soul of mankind. I believe this, the bridegroom will come to claim his bride. Without it, nothing makes sense. After his wedding, he'll set up housekeeping. The prophet describes it beautifully when he says, he shall make crooked things straight. I can't. No institution on earth, from police force to service club, can. But he can. We weary of crooked government officials, but crooked asses, crooked deals, crooked treaties, crooked taxes. The labyrinth is too tangled. Every attempt is a failure. Our Lord must reign, but he will not accept the throne unless it be shared with his beloved. So he left from the Mount of Olives, and he shall return to the Mount of Olives. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. The angels were right. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. But he will not return alone. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The word of God says this company, she hath made herself ready. Are you ready? The girl who knows her marriage date is right in front of her can think of nothing else. Every moment is spent in getting ready. I'm surprised at so many of you. Thank God there's a place of reconciliation. The break doesn't have to widen. The sorrow doesn't have to increase. The gap can be closed right now. And you'll find the peace you seek at this long, long altar. So come quickly and confidently in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
There's refuge at this altar. 1,000 devils have been tormenting you. You can't sleep without heavy medication. Your appetite is uncertain. Company irritates you. You seem to be tangled inside a concrete mixer. Nothing is going right. You got away from religion after you left home. But looking back, you remember that mother didn't have problems. Father, the money you have, but he was always cheery and in good health. And there was an open Bible in the home. The blessing of mealtime. There were regular habits of Sunday school teaching. And God got his portion of the in. Brother needs were met. Need to come to terms with this way of life. I invite you to call upon God at this broadcast altar, and I'll help you. Holy Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and cleanse. Forgive our rebellion, our debts to thee. We cannot make amends. We have no good works to offer thee. Thy blood is our efficacy. Thy resurrection is our assurance. Thy high priestly ministry is our victory. We bless thee for this. It is our dedication here to become a working part of this gospel evangelism and to reach others. For tomorrow, in other words, no immediate, there's a living relationship between yourself and the throne. And now we look at this long, long altar, and repeatedly he has indicated his presence and pleasure. Let's sense his direction together. Believe with me, we yield ourselves, instruments for righteousness. He is pleased to keep sharing his victory with us. And I feel the move of the Spirit in this moment directed toward healing a breach in a business partnership. You've been at odds with your partner. The division has widened until you no longer communicate. It has threatened a former pleasant relationship between your families. Now it can injure your children and reflect badly on your church participation. It began over details, and Satan has taken advantage. You have wanted to stop this decay, and now the Holy Spirit is confronting you with it at the long, long altar. You must go to the phone. Start repairs immediately. Because God has prepared the other party, and this is the moment of it. So neither disobey or postpone. Jesus, the revival time crowd, thousands of us, thank thee for this further evidence of thy presence with us. Amen. This is revival time. There's nothing to join. There's a growing network of believers. We have found life in experiencing the fact that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.